Reprint 12, July 1879. The Royal Priesthood. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. The above scriptures clearly teach that a part, at least, of our work in the future will be to officiate as the priests of God. As the work of a priest is one of intercession and of instruction in righteousness, they as clearly prove that the glorious work of evangelization will go on, not only after the first resurrection has taken place, but even all through the age of the ages. The fact that these offices of king and priest will exist logically implies that there will be subjects to rule and learners to teach. Otherwise, the names would be meaningless and the titles an empty sound. It is held by some that the reign of the saints will consist of a very brief reign of terror, during which, with Christ at their head, they will trample their enemies into the dust and utterly destroy them. We thank our dear Lord for a better hope. Our work will not be one of destruction, but of salvation. We shall rule as kings, even with a rod of iron, but the grand object will be to humble the nations and to fit them for the reception of truth. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. What a blessed prospect! What a glorious calling! A royal priesthood! Who that is imbued with the Spirit of the Master, who that has but tasted that the Lord is gracious, could desire more agreeable employment than to show forth the praises of our Savior King to those sitting in darkness, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to give beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. To fit us for such an exalted and responsible position, we require a peculiar training, and we feel warranted in claiming that the trials, temptations, and discipline of this present life are for that very purpose. Many a struggling believer, trying hard to overcome, buffeted by the enemy, tried by friends, weighed down by hereditary weaknesses in self, discouraged and faint, has cried out from the depths of a loving heart, "Why, oh why, this suffering? Why this severe chastisement?" Let us glance for a moment at the pathway trod by the bleeding feet of the Master, our forerunner, and we shall find the answer. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, "Thou art my Son," who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he had suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. For it became him, for whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10, 17 through 18. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. The reason, then, that the church is called on to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ is that all the body, in like manner to the head, may be trained to perfect sympathy and to perfect obedience through suffering. In this present time, we and all our troubles come to our compassionate high priest with boldness, realizing that he, having been partaker of flesh and blood, can truly feel for us and pity us. So, in the age to come, we, the promised seed of Abraham, through whom all the families of the earth shall be blessed, compare Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, Galatians chapter 3, verses 14, 16, and 20, shall go forth a royal priesthood, according to the order of Melchizedek, fully prepared to sympathize with the nations, to lead them to the paths of righteousness, and to encourage them in the way of life. Shall we shrink, then, from our cross? Shall we seek to put away the bitter cup that is sometimes pressed to our lips? Surely not. 'Tis a loving hand that presents it. 'Tis a loving heart, infinitely loving, that sees the need of it. No, it is but the Master fitting us for his work, training us for the priesthood, teaching us to rule ourselves, that we may know how to rule others, opening our eyes to the weakness of our own flesh, that we may have patience with those over whom we are given authority. Luke chapter 19, verses 17 and 19. Courage, then, my Christian brother or sister, seeking with weary step to run the narrow way, heed not the rugged course. It is all hallowed and sanctified by the blessed feet of the Master. Count every thorn a flower, every sharp rock a milestone, hurrying you onward to the goal. Let every advancing step be a nearer to thee, every hillock in the road an upward toward heaven. Keep your eye fixed on the prize. Soon, very soon, you may wear the crown. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. The consecrated cross I'll bear, till self it bears from me. When Jesus calls, the crown I'll wear, for him who set me free. The author of the article was W.I.M. That was reprint 12, The Royal Priesthood.